know you like to think about midnight. In your second glass of red wine. Walking down the most.
What's up, y'all? This is Rob Blackledge, and I'm hanging out with the adorably charming Donald Jenkins here in Nashville, Tennessee. And you're listening to Hits Collecting Dust. This is my episode. It's really good.
Yeah, I like it. See how much this adds to the podcast if you had not brought your guitar.
Man,
this would just not be.
As much as I like to feel like I am an emotionally gifted a cappella singer, you're right. Well, this does add a lot. And I can also
Think you are. I've heard you sing a cappella before.
Oh, say can you. I can also play along, like if I'm telling a sad story.
Yeah. Oh, please do.
Well.
Oh my gosh, that's like is that Hotel California?
No, that's.
I mean, that's a good one right there.
I don't know any more than that.
Hey, let's get started. Hey, Rob, what's up, dude?
Gotta get my coffee.
I mean, that sounded.
Not much, man.
Painful.
Painful. No, I am getting old. I am getting old. I'm how many years older since we talked last?
Has it been 2 years? Dude, I'm going to blow your mind. Real quick, I am sitting here with Rob Blackledge. Hey, it's been 4 years at least.
Hasn't? I remember it was at Rebar. We hung out at Rebar.
Oh, that's not true. I'll tell you the last time.
Really?
You were playing a show behind Losers.
And wow, yeah.
And remember, it was right after y'all were on the road and somebody stole your trailer.
Oh, yeah.
With all your equipment in it.
Yep, because, we didn't have anything. We had nothing. Like, I literally, we had our trailer stolen in Salt Lake City, and which is a beautiful town. It left, you know, it kind of has an odd place in my story now. But yeah, so I was left with one guitar to my name out of, you know, however many years of.
And had shows to play coming
yes,
up.
Yes.
So the story goes, you're out on the road. Y'all were doing your, you know, road warrior, just knocking them out.
We're killing it.
You're at a hotel.
Playing in front of ones and ones of people.
I mean, they were ones there.
So we're driving. We had this shuttle bus, and we had our own little hotel. Of course, we had our own little hotel. And our trailer that we pulled behind the bus was parked behind the hotel. And we get back at 1 in the morning. I think Brad, our drummer, you said, you know, I'm going to stay out here and smoke a cigarette. And he mentioned that the next day seeing this truck kind of sitting off to the side, didn't think anything of it. He came in, and when we went back to look at the surveillance tapes, it was like 30 minutes after Brad came in at like 2 in the morning, these guys pull around. We have it on tape, and they pick up the trailer. They, you know, take two of them. It wasn't a huge trailer. It was a single-axle trailer, and they rotate it around. They set it on the back of their truck and speed away everything, not break into the trailer and take stuff out. They took the trailer, gone. So then that day, we woke up that morning, we drove to, made a few phone calls. We had a show that night in Las Vegas, and we played it.
How?
Well, we called the sound guy, the promoter, and they said, hey, can you find us some gear? So yeah, that's how it went down. And then I think we had one more show after that in Flagstaff, Arizona, at the Museum Club, which is a really cool spot. And
yeah,
more just gear that guys had let us borrow, and the show must go on.
I'm going to tell you something. Some of the best stories I've ever heard, and I love music and all that you guys do. That's why I'm doing this. But you're talking about problem solving? Be an artist on the road. I mean, you would think all the stories would be about music, the crowd, and like what happened when. It's like the in-between the shows where like, no. all of our equipment was stolen. And we had to play the next night. And you got to figure it out, right?
Yeah, well, you can't go home. You don't have enough time. You don't have any money. So it's not like you can just go to Guitar Center and buy a bunch of stuff and take it.
Right, right. Yeah,
it's Apollo 13 all the time. You know, we've got to fit a round filter in a square hole.
I'm going to coin another term. Nashville, we have a problem.
Nashville. Yes, I mean, we do.
This is the musicians, Houston. No, this is Nashville, we have a problem.
That's it. We should make a t-shirt, and every manager in town and booking agent in town would go, yes, that's 100%. Because it's not just on, you know, the lower level that I've existed on.
Right.
Every level. I mean, my buddies that play at the upper level and say, I know you have his... Just many, they have so many stories of just, oh, it was a crapshoot, and we pulled it off.
Yeah.
You know, award shows are like that. It's like
there's so many
everything
moving parts.
Breaks all the time.
Yeah, it is not even a matter of if; it's just what and when.
Oh
right?
Yeah, so yeah, it's problem solving all the time, but that's the fun part of it. If you you know, it's fun
and it's funny. After the fact, like, we're totally laughing about it right now. I'm sure that when you woke up the next morning and there was not a trailer attached to your, that was not funny. It just couldn't have been funny.
The best part is the bus was parked out of my window. So I wake up, you know, I kind of stretch 8 o'clock in the morning or whatever. And I walk to the window like I usually do and throw open the blinds or the drapes. And I look down there and I see our bus. And I don't see the trailer.
Yeah,
and
okay.
I go, that's odd.
That's odd.
And that's how it went.
That's a great story.
Somebody took the trailer.
Well, you know, I say this all the time. Don't blink because 5 years will go by, right?
I think Kenny Chesney said that.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, I'm sorry, dude.
Dadgummit. Oh, well.
You can take it.
I'll take it anyway. Well, and the reason I say that is like you and I met. Gosh, it had to be. Well, I'll tell you when it was. It was around 2013,
because
that's when I started kind of doing my making it happen videos, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, my coffee cup still says making it happen. I still do that a lot. But we had some, y'all were my like funnest interviews. You never knew what y'all were going to say and do, and it was so much fun. But Rob, you're formerly with Blackjack Billy.
Yeah.
Right? Now you're a total solo artist.
I'm something. Yeah, that's one of those things for sure.
No, just released an album.
I did. I left the band. Great guys and some of the best memories. I mean, we could go on with stories like this forever.
Right.
But yeah, I got to travel the world and got to tour Canada and Australia and obviously all around the States and had record deals and had, you know, everything you could ever dream of. And it for me, I woke up and realized, you know, I had some other things I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And some different music I wanted to play, and I called the guys and I said, "Man, I think I'm gonna go." And they said, "We understand." And so they're still out rocking and rolling, doing the thing, and I'm at home a lot these days. I play a couple of times a month, but yeah, I made a record and it's available on iTunes and everywhere digital music is sold.
Please plug.
Also on my website, robblackledgemusic.com. But more than anything, man, I'm just enjoying the freedom of getting to make music and not really be tied to anything. I've always done it that way in some way, shape, or form. And when I moved to Nashville, I was a solo artist for 8 years before I was in Blackjack Billy, and I did 3 records as a solo artist. And so it's kind of fun to get back to that and see what kind of music pops out.
Yeah, I mean, taking it back to the beginning, are you originally from Mississippi, right?
Yeah, born and raised here. In Madison, moved here when I was 18 and went to Belmont, like so many of my friends and so many folks at Belmont. It's a great avenue of it was blessed to be able to get to go there. We couldn't afford it, but
yeah, it's not cheap.
My parents took out a loan and we did what we had to do.
Now, did you meet your wife there?
I did, actually. We met my freshman year. She was a transferred junior, and it was the first couple of weeks of school, and I remember I was at a buddy's house, actually not too far from where we're sitting right now, and she walked in. It was actually her boyfriend's house at the time, and you know, he roomed with a couple of guys, and I remember her walking in. I leaned over to my buddy, and I went, "Finally, there's a hot girl here."
And guess what? She's taken.
I know. And I was like, yeah, well, I am too. But seriously, man, she's smoking.
Oh, so y'all were both in relationships.
We were both in relationships. And it was 7 years until that relationship, you know, turned into more than that. She was in Boston and I was touring with my buddy Nathan Angelo, and we were, yeah, we played a show in Boston. I asked her to come out, and
all right. Well, we skipped a few steps. So you graduated.
We did. We jumped
skipped like seven years.
7 years. Yeah.
But you graduated, and you said you went on tour. This you had. What happened musically when it? You know, you graduated college. Did you? I think you had a record deal, right?
No, I had a management deal with a company called Network Management.
Okay.
I guess even to be a little bit more clear, so I came to Nashville in August of 2002, and one of the first guys I met was named Andy Davis, mm-hmm. who went to Belmont, and he lives in L.A. now as a songwriter and producer. And it wasn't too long after, I mean, a couple of weeks later, I met a guy named Dave Barnes, and Dave actually... took me out on the road in February. Dave wrote "God Gave Me You,"
yes.
for that Blake Shelton cut, and
but he released it himself too.
Yeah, that's
it was a hit with just him.
Yeah,
and Blake Shelton cut.
Yeah, and Dave's had a lot of success in varying levels of his career, and he was kind enough to take me out on the road. And one of the first the first show we ever did, he asked me if we could take my Pathfinder. I had an old like 4-wheel drive Pathfinder,
mm-hmm.
and he said, "We're going to Indiana. It's supposed to snow, and I've got a station wagon." He was touring in a station wagon. He said, "Can we take your Pathfinder?" And I said, "Yeah." And sure enough, this is the first time I'm from Mississippi.
Right.
This is the first, like, I mean, this was like a real deal blizzard, and I'm driving, and we drive up through Indiana to call it DePaul, not DePaul, but DePaul. It one's with an L, one's with a W. This one's outside of Indianapolis.
Okay.
Anyway, and we that's when I met a guy named Matt Wirtz, who's another local guy who has had a good deal of success in Nashville and around. And so, yeah, they kind of took me out on the road, and off we went. And so all through college, I'm playing and doing this, and it came time to graduate. And I thought, man, I don't think I want to go out and do anything else. So
yeah.
I made a record with Andy Davis and graduated. And that year... I graduated in December of 2005, and 2006, I went out and just, I played about 50 house shows and went out on the road with Matt Wirtz, and we did a tour up the East Coast, and yeah, just kind of never really looked back.
Yeah. That's crazy when you look back and go, gosh, that was
10 years ago.
10 years ago.
Jeez.
Right? If I knew what I know now, which
no
is
kidding.
A question that I will ask later on. So you and your wife, you get married, and mm-hmm. this is, you're not with Blackjack Billy yet. Then,
no, right? We got married in October of 2009.
By the way, your wife's gorgeous and awesome. So
let me just put
it out there. She is amazing.
I was one of those guys that thought maybe I'd get married by the time I was 30.
Yeah.
I mean, but it was definitely one of those things where I met a girl and I thought, oh, wow, okay, well, this is... I've got to do whatever it takes to make sure I make this work, and I did. I made a lot of life changes, and she was I hoodwinked her just enough to say yes, and so we got married. That is about the time that I wrote "Runaway" for Love and Theft.
Yeah. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting part of the story, not because it was a hit or anything, but I was broke. In getting married, and that song came along at a time when I needed it, and I mean I had a record deal for the year of 2009, just an independent record deal. Made another record with Jeff Copeland, who is part of Blackjack Billy, and that's kind of how we got to know each other. But this is still 2 or 3 years before Blackjack Billy, and I had written "Runaway" with Stephen Lyles and Kanan Smith, and in 2008 they released it in 2009, and then so 4 months after I got married, with a couple thousand bucks in the bank, I started getting royalty checks, and it just, I mean, we lived off of that for 4 years.
Wow.
We lived off of "Runaway" money, and it was during that time that Jeff came to me, Jeff Copeland, who had produced Love and Theft's first record, who came to me and said, you should be in a duo. It was originally a duo. I've got a few guys I'm looking at, but let's find somebody. I think it'd be fun.
Yeah.
So for 6 months, we kind of toiled over the idea. And by January of 2011, I met Noel Billings. And that was the beginning of Blackjack Billy. So,
and I mean, hey, for for the run you guys had, and they're, like you said, they're still rocking it.
They're running, man.
You guys, you guys put on a show though, and y'all were so good,
man. There was something unique about. I talk about it in past tense because it's the part of my life is over. But
yeah,
it was for me. It was I'd never done music like that.
Yeah,
I was a James Taylor singer songwriter guy, and it was and it really was for me. It was, man, let's just get out there and have fun, and we did, man. Yeah. We had a blast and got to meet so many great people, and man, I'm just 100% supportive of those guys and what they're doing, and. Man, I obviously I wish them the best, and I'm just happy to have had an opportunity to play music all over the world, and it was a lot of fun.
You know, I love the fact though that you know you wake up, it's not a negative, it's just hey, here's where I am. But most people, that would be hard to just kind of switch directions immediately, right?
Yeah, you gotta
respect that. Like some people would go, all right, maybe it's not the right fit, but they just kind of stay, you know. And what was that crossroads with you when it was like, all right? It's done. You know, you wake up one morning and did something happen or was it just...
Well, there were a couple of things that... I mean, there's a lot of reasons people leave a band.
Right.
And I'm not going to tell the complete story on here. I'll just be honest
with you. Yeah,
sure. No. But...
It's really more about you, not the band. Like,
well, everybody kind of reaches, you know, different places. And for me, I think for a long time, I'd felt like... musically, it wasn't the same thing that I wanted to be doing. I had our original bass player had left the band about a year and a half before, and I took over bass playing duties. And I was excited about that, and I loved doing it. But I think for me, once I kind of thought, man, this isn't exactly me. I think the novelty of it to a certain degree maybe kind of wore off, and I don't necessarily mean you know that it was. I was just doing it for fun. But I did. I wanted to have fun doing it, and it kind of lost its spark a little bit for me. And so, I thought, you know, let's... I want to make some different music. I mean, at the end of the day, it was music.
Then, yeah, right?
New music.
Let's talk about the new music.
I did okay with that question, right?
Yeah, you did great. There's no right or wrong. But, you know, knowing you as long as I have and knowing a lot of the musicians that I've just been fortunate enough to walk with, you know, not being in music... It's always been really cool.
You do know a lot of people.
Well,
wink and a smile? It's the hair.
Oh, gosh.
It's the hair.
I'm just glad to still have hair. Right? Let's be honest. You're talking about, I thought I'd be married by 30. I used to say that, too. Then it was like, well, maybe by 40. And now my parents are going, yeah, it just may not happen.
Just don't worry about it.
I'm like, all right, whatever. But
I just called you Don.
And Don's fine. I get called worse and better.
Mr. Draper.
Yeah. So, you know, I do. But it's because, I mean, I don't think there's anything real overly special about me. I just, you know, I've been here for 15 years, right?
Yeah, you and me both. Wow.
Yeah. And, but see, the difference is, while you're knowing people, and not that it's not genuine, but like you're in music, right? So,
right.
And I always kind of felt like, even when somebody who is in music who doesn't know me, and it's like, all right, they kind of look at you like, all right, what do you want from me? What do you need from me? Right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, no, I'm not music. And they're like, oh, you're not?
Opens the door.
And they're
right
like,
up.
Yeah. And they're like, okay, sure. You want to have a beer or something?
Yeah.
Because it's like, wait, you're not going to talk about music? Or
I envy you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Right. And it's allowed me to genuinely, I think, just be friends, you know, with a lot of people that are pursuing. They're very, very talented. And let's be honest, pretty much all of you guys have always been like the best at what you do, you know, like where you come from. And now everybody's here, right?
Yeah.
And they're so talented and they're so used to kind of being like, I don't know, not center of attention, but they're kind of it, you know? And then you meet somebody new and they're like, all right, well, who are you and what do you want or need or what can I do for you? And I'm like, no, I don't want anything. Just
it's like politics in DC, you know?
Yeah,
as soon as they find out that you're actually, you know, mow lawns for a living, no, you know, there's no pressure.
And it's just been a blast. And of course, you know, a lot of my friends, I think I even met y'all through, you know, buddy of ours, Weston Davis.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and so it's through that whole kind of corn man, you know, Kip Moore type. Yeah, Brett James, all those guys, which they're going to come on. So I'm excited about having them. So, you know, it's just been something with me. It wasn't a career choice that I'm doing this. It was like, I wish people could hear and see what I get to hear and see.
Dude,
it's frustrating.
No, I understand. You know. Well, it's equally as frustrating for us because we want people to hear it too.
Absolutely. So that's what this is. Yeah. And you know, you and I could probably talk for hours. I'd love to have you back. I got this certain set of questions that I do ask everybody.
Let's do it.
We might do that next time because I'm trying to keep this, you know, short and sweet. And you and I mean, if people just want to call in and listen to us talk, that's fine. but what I'd like to do right now is really just. You know, the whole premise of this is to kind of set up a song that you wrote and, you know, one that's not maybe out there cut, you know, or a hit yet, but it totally is a hit, you know.
So all of my songs are hits.
They're all hits.
They're all just
Rob, every single one of them.
Every song that's played on this program is a hit.
That's right.
Just no one's heard it. that's the whole thing, you know. So
yeah. So set up one of your favorites and then play it.
Cool.
First.
Well, I'm going to set up one that I wrote with our buddy Tom.
Oh, yeah. I meant to bring that up. Tom Bropre, he's been on the show.
Bropre.
I can't remember what episode, guys, but if you go to iTunes and subscribe, you can find him.
Bropre. Yeah. I mean, so I met, I'll talk about Tom for 30 seconds.
Sure.
So Tom is, I'm going to introduce him in a couple of different ways because there's the Nashville way to introduce somebody. I'm going to skip that version. I know Tom as a happily married man to a beautiful lady.
Yep.
I know Tom as one of the most thoughtful, a great listener, a great songwriter, a classically trained musician. He actually tuned pianos there for a while as
well. Yes, he said that on the show. I had no idea.
He's a man of many talents. And I met him through a good friend of mine named Adam Romaine. And I've known Adam for many, many years now. And when I left the band last year, I wanted to start writing towards a new record. And I asked if Adam could help introduce me to some people because I'd been on the road. My circle was very small.
Right.
And he said, absolutely. And a couple weeks later, he said, I'm going to hook you up with my friend Tom. And Tom actually plays bass for Florida Georgia Line. And I thought, oh, well, that'll be nice.
Yeah.
And so I'd say all that because most people would intro with Tom as a bass player for Florida Georgia Line, but I know Tom as a songwriter for Rob Blackledge.
Right.
So,
well, and you know, we talked about that too. You know, he, huge tour that he's on and playing for. What most people don't realize outside of Nashville is that just because they're playing one instrument, that's not all they do.
Sure. He's getting paid to do that.
Right.
But Tom would just as soon, you know, be a songwriter and you know, he's just a gifted musician all the way around. But yeah, and most guys are like that. I mean, most of the times, like even when I'm playing at church on Sunday, you know, the guy playing drums is just as good of a bass player or a guitar player.
Right.
As any, you know.
So it's like literally they show up and they go, so what do you need? It's crazy. I'm like, I'm looking for that. I'm thinking maybe the triangle I can do. Bringing it back.
You know what? I actually played triangle on my record. It's really hard.
Really?
No, it's hard.
So I can't do that either.
No, I'm just saying don't underestimate the triangle.
I'm not underestimating.
You can give it a go.
Okay.
Give it a go. But there's a technique to it because it's, if you think like a ding, 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 it's like a muting. It was weird. You know what's even harder than that, though, in my opinion, is just a plain shaker. Just
really?
To go. Shick, 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 shick. Yeah, it's hard. It's all in the wrist.
Well, I got to work on something. I got to work on something because let's be honest, I love to talk. It's what I'm good at. All right. But I have the passion for music. I just don't have the ability. Right. And I'm just looking for one reason in my lifetime for one of y'all to go, and I'm bringing my buddy Donald up on stage and I got nothing, Rob. And so I was like, maybe a shaker, but you're saying no.
No, I'm telling you what it's going to happen. I'm going to write in a spoken word section to a song.
Done.
Just for you.
Done.
And then you can get up there and be like, it was the 4th of November.
What? Perfect. You know, give me something to look forward to.
Like He Stopped Loving Her Today, you know. He came to see her one last time. And that could be you.
That's right.
Know? We all wondered if she would.
Let's bring back that classical, you know, even with... I wrote back and said that he had not written the perfect country western song.
Oh, that's right.
Because he had said nothing about mamas.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Anyway, back to Tom.
Back to Tom.
That was one hell of a rabbit hole.
It was. That's what we do.
Mm. So I show up at Tom's house, and we're writing. Actually, we wrote a few songs with another friend of ours named Drew Castle, who would be a fun guy to have on the show.
Yeah.
I'll hook you guys up. And And so got to know Tom, and long story getting longer is this song I'm going to play is he and I wrote one afternoon sitting over there. I think, a lot of my songs I don't come in with an idea lyrically. I come in with something musically, and I think maybe Tom actually had this musically. I can't remember. It all runs together, but we got done with it and thought it was pretty kind of cool little tune. It doesn't have a lot of dynamics. It just kind of sits there, but it's one of my favorites. My wife's favorite, so
nice.
We'll start with this
one.
What's
the name of it?
This one's called "I Hope I Come to Mind."
Perfect.
I know you like to think about summer and dancing in the rain and singing loud to the music in my old Chevrolet. I know you like to think about midnight in your second glass of red wine, walking down Mimosa with your hand in mine. When you think about a lover, when you think about forever, I hope I come to mind. I know you like to think about leaving a weekend at the beach, a nice long conversation with a friend you rarely see. When you think about a lover, oh, when you think about time, when you think about forever, I hope I come to mind. Ooh. Oh, no. Think about a lover, oh, when you think about time, when you think about forever, oh, I hope I come to mind. When you think about a lover, when you think about time, when you think about forever, I hope I come to mind.
All right. Dude, that is awesome.
We should do this at 2 in the morning.
Well, that would get dangerous, actually. But I can see why it's your wife's favorite song. And, this is like one of the hardest parts for me is following up on this, because like a lot of times when I hear these, it's a little bit of, how do you say it? Like, I'm just kind of stunned, right? It's like, I don't want to yell or scream. I just kind of sit here and I go, like, that's unbelievable. It was a great song, but like your vocals, like the way you play the guitar, and I'm like, I'm sitting here and I'm just kind of like dumbfounded. Like, huge. Like, and that's my point. And I really do think you are. You're huge in a lot of ways. But like that song right there, it's like, yeah, we just, me and Tom, yeah, we wrote this the other day. And you're like,
yeah, there it is.
There it is.
Yeah, it's nothing that we don't think about either.
I know.
But there's a certain level of acceptance.
Sure.
You know, I there's no, like, I'm like, yeah, you don't like scream or yell or get mad. You just, you just do it because it's in you.
Yeah.
And you get handed these songs and, you know, I've got a buddy who is just a gifted carpenter. And, you know, he sells his stuff when he can, the same way I go and play shows when I can or do whatever. And I just look at him and go, man, you make incredible stuff. And he just goes, I just love to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm the same, you know, I love the fact that I get to play music this morning.
Yeah.
And, it's easy to lose sight of that when you do it for a living and when you do it all the time. But where I've been brought in my life now, I don't get to do it all the time anymore. So, you know, I woke up this morning and I thought, dude, I get to go play music.
Yeah.
I don't care where it is or who's listening. I get to play my guitar and sing in front of somebody that's going to care.
Right. And that's actually why I bring it up and kind of say in the way that I do, because like from an audience standpoint, which is kind of me, it's like, how are you not big? Right. But from the true artist standpoint, it's what you do. It's who you are. You would do it anyway.
Yeah.
And you're right. It's like, there, because of the business part of it, sometimes it does get like, you know, muddied a little bit, but at the end of the day, everyone comes full circle and goes, it's who I am. It's what I do. I love it.
I think it gets very muddied.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and that's one of the things I'm grateful for with the experiences that I've had in Nashville is that I've shared the stage with a lot of people and I've seen the backroom conversations and I've seen the, and it's all true. It exists, and you have to. There are games that have to be played, and people that have to be known, and there's money that has to be made to make the whole thing work. And you know, if you want to do that, then there's a whole artistry in doing that, and that's right. A personality and a character that fits some people so well.
Yeah,
and they excel in that. And then there's me. It's just not my cup of tea. If a million people want to buy my record, I'm more than happy.
Yeah.
To do, you know, to sure. go and to play for a million people and to try to tread the water that comes along with that lifestyle. But for me, this is just what I enjoy more than that.
Yeah, and it is a lifestyle. And if you're listening right now, I will tell you this much. You can rock a stage and have as much fun. I've seen you do that. But I would highly recommend if anybody gets the opportunity to sit and just hear you play acoustically. You just heard that song, guys. But like to be here and watch him do it at the same time, highly recommend it. So how would we find you? To say, where are you playing? When are you playing? Because, Rob, I'll come see you.
Thanks, Don.
Yeah.
let's see. I try to keep my, so I do everything. I built my website.
Yeah.
I did the record, with my producer, Mitch Dane, actually did it at his studio at Sputnik Sound. And he's just incredibly gifted, but my cousin, did my photography down in Birmingham, Rob Culpepper, my buddy Ethan kind of helped me design the cover of the record, but basically it's all in-house. If I don't come up with it, if I don't think about it, it doesn't happen. All that to say, I do the best I can to keep robblackledgemusic.com updated.
Sure. So that's how we can find you. All your social media is right there.
Yeah, all that. Obviously, Instagram is Rob Blackledge Music. Facebook is Rob Blackledge Music. Twitter, which I said before all that, is just Rob Blackledge.
Oh.
But I am verified.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
there is a check mark.
There's a blue check
mark. I don't have a blue check mark. I'm not verified.
Well, it was when Twitter was young and they were desperately looking for people to verify.
That's my next goal. How do I get verified?
So, yeah, but and then I've got a YouTube page that I try to post some videos of me doing what I'm doing right here.
Yeah.
And
there'll be a little behind the scenes YouTube of what we have done right now this morning.
Cool. So. And I'll share it on my stuff and you'll have it on your stuff. And
let's do it. Well, I have a feeling, you know, just because you're true to who you are, you're true to your music, you can sense it, you feel it, and you're unbelievably talented, that believe me, if people do hear you and do what you do, it's gonna take off regardless of your strategy. So thanks for coming in, man.
Dude, thanks, Don.
Will you come back?
Yes,
because I know that every one of your songs are hits, and I know
that's only one of 47. So we've got.
Hey, well, hey, check him out, guys. Rob Blackledge, thanks for coming in, dude. And hey, make sure you subscribe to Nashville Hits Collecting Dust and follow me, guys, Donald S. Jenkins, on all my social media. That way you don't miss an episode. So thanks again, man.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
See you, bud.
Bye.
This has been Hits Collecting Dust. Please support this podcast and the artists featured by going to iTunes, subscribing, and leaving us a review.